Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Shintaro Higashi Show with Peter Yu. Today, we're going to talk a little bit about wrestling and judo and how judo can learn from wrestling.
Yeah, this was actually one of the suggestions from our sponsor, Levon. You know, he's one of our biggest sponsors.
Levon's a man.
Yeah, he always gives us very interesting suggestions. And here's another one. So he basically wanted to see, he first pointed out how wrestling programs always seem to produce good grapplers with good fundamentals. And
yes,
he was
sure.
Wondering how they do it and if there's something wrestling programs do that judo schools can learn.
Yeah. Well, I think first and foremost, in terms of like producing champions, I think it's a population issue. Mm-hmm. You know, the demographic of people wrestling from a young age, it's so much bigger than people doing judo from a young age.
Right.
And this is the thing. A lot of the times you do judo since you're a kid, we lose these athletic kids to regular sports like baseball, soccer, basketball, because it's embedded in the school system. You know, people want to, you know, have friends at school and do things together with their classmates and such. If you're wrestling in a town like, let's just say in Pennsylvania, and you're growing up wrestling and you're going to club wrestling things and middle school wrestling, and now all of a sudden when you're in high school, you're going to join the wrestling team.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Right.
So those are the two biggest factors, I think, in producing great champions. But I think Levon's talking a little bit more about like the structure of the practices and such.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So I wrestled in high school and you wrestled pretty much all your life too. Like you wrestled even in college.
Yeah. I wrestled high school and college, and I did a little bit of freestyle wrestling afterwards. I was just like kind of always in it. You know, every now and then I'll just wrestle with my buddies. So I'm very deep in the wrestling scene, not like crazy deep, you know, like judo or jiu-jitsu, but like, I know my wrestling pretty good, like the community and the culture and how they train and things like that.
Right.
You
know? Good. Yeah. Good. So let's kind of jump right into the practice structure. Like what do you see as the difference, biggest difference between judo practice and wrestling practice? And I guess we might have to talk a little bit about how judo practice are run at hobby schools in America and then like competitive schools in Japan or something like that.
Yes.
It's probably, I have a feeling that judo practices in Japan, like the competitive ones, are probably similar to how wrestling practices are run in the States in the competitive gym.
Yeah, absolutely. 1000%. And this is, I could only speak on American judo and American wrestling because I've only experienced that. I mean, yes, I've experienced global judo, international judo, like in Japan, I used to train there all the time.
Yeah.
But specifically, like we're looking at like American wrestling systems, you know, high school and college, things like this. And then we're looking at judo in America, right? That's what we're talking about. All right. So just in terms of like practice structure, they do a lot of like warming up and such, like fundamental movements. But the biggest difference, I think, is in the beginning of wrestling practice, they do a lot of hand fighting. And that's the equivalent of grip fighting.
Yeah.
You know, it is kind of mostly leg grab shots, right? So like penetration shots, sweet single shots. They drill these over and over, obviously, you know, but they do a lot of hand fighting, emphasis on hand fighting. You know, and if you look at some of the most successful judo clubs in the United States, let's say like Jimmy Page's club or something like that, they focus a lot on grip fighting. So there are similarities. Mm-hmm. You know, I feel like a lot of business oriented gyms, you know, commercial gyms, that are teaching judo as a business and providing that as a service, they do lots of showing throws. Ouchi, osoto, here's a takedown, here's a tile. But they don't really talk about setting up the attacks. They don't really focus too much on gripping and hand fighting and positioning.
Yeah.
You know? And in wrestling, there's a huge focus on stance and motion, hand fighting, taking your opponent out of position, right? Out of your stance. So I think that's the most biggest difference between like the general commercial gym versus like wrestling.
Why do you think that is? Why is it just because that's more important in competitions?
Or? It's definitely important in competition, but the way the judo curriculum has been structured historically, right? Yeah. It's like the Gokyo, let's just say, right? Here are this segment of techniques. There's hand techniques, foot techniques, hip techniques, and such. So they're classified, right? Do you know these moves? Do you know those moves? You know what I mean? And people don't really delve too deep after that. Right.
Most once of the you know the throws.
Shown. Yes. Yeah. Once you know the throws, right, go ahead and try it has always been the way, you know? And even Japan, it's like, okay, go ahead and do it was kind of like the methodology, right?
Right, right.
And then you're practicing it on a cooperating partner. But in wrestling, there's much more of a focus on a non-cooperative aspect. And if you look at every sort of training, how much of it is cooperative training versus non-cooperative training? Yeah. If you look at the average jiu-jitsu class and the Gen Pop class, like 30 minutes of technique, It's like learning, drilling. It's all cooperative. And then 30 minutes of non-cooperative time, right? Yeah. Where you're actually rolling with somebody.
Yeah.
So it's split 50-50.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean?
Right.
And then even during the drill time, like in judo, you can have different grip fighting things and taking each other out of position and doing these drills to enhance your randori time. There's a bridge between drilling, live randori, and there's like a little bit of a progression in the between. You know, I talk about this all the time. And hand fighting provides just that, taking your opponent, right? Looking for timing, looking for setups. You're not really taking each other down.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
I see. Interesting.
Yeah. Well, this is just neutral. We're not talking about the ground yet.
Okay. Yeah. So the more takedowns. And do you see that? Like, so even in Japan, even in competitive, like, focus, like a competitive college practice.
Yeah.
They don't do much of this drilling.
They definitely do drill, right? So it's like, all right, guys, we're going to warm up. We're going to run sprints. Everyone break a sweat. We're going to stretch lightly. All right, guys, grab a partner. We're just going to do hand fighting for 20 minutes or 15 minutes or whatever it is. Mm. Or sometimes they go like, all right, we're going to do 3-minute goes of hand fighting and then just taking each other out of positions. And then we're going to go like just drilling.
I see.
Sometimes they do drilling first. They're like, all right, 3 and 3, 3 takedowns, 3 takedowns, you know? Make sure you set up all your moves. See, that did a little bit of a difference too, right? All right, guys, we're doing uchikomi. As opposed to doing osorogari 10 times, 20 times and swapping partners, right? I like the idea that the drill actually begins with setting up your hands, setting up the move, and then entering, you know?
I see.
So that's something we do at my dojo. I say, like, just static uchikomi, there's a, you know, point of diminishing returns. You know, do 3 or 4 sets of static uchikomi, but focus on moving, focus on setting up your moves. Do sort of, like, combinations and misdirections and things like this, as opposed to just do static uchikomi.
Right.
I know dojos who do static uchikomi like 20 minutes straight. Like, yes, that's, yeah, from old Japan, they used to do that. But that's because they had 5 hours of training. They had 5 hours of training. So, of course, you're going to say, all right.
Hundreds of people. Yeah.
Yeah. And then, like, hundreds of people, they had 5 hours of training. It's like, all right, we're going to spend an hour. Everyone do 1,000 uchikomis of your favorite move. You know, you do that, no one's going to keep coming to judo, first of all, right?
Yeah.
And then the class is almost over. You know, you can't do anything else. So,
that's a good segue. Like, so, yes. So, there's a reason why judo, commercial judo gyms in America focus on the gokyo, like the throws, instead of all the setups and whatnot.
Yeah.
And then there's a reason why wrestling practices, scholastic wrestling practices in America focus on more of the setups because it's more conducive for your competition. So, is it good? Do you think it's a good idea to borrow that from wrestling?
Yes. Yeah. I don't like my guys just do static uchikomi for a very long period of time. I think it's a waste of time. You know, I wouldn't say waste of time, but you know, like there's a point of diminishing returns always. And if your time is limited to 1 hour or 2 hours in practice, I know my dojo starts at 7, ends at 9, right?
Yeah.
And then the second half is all randori. The first half is like mostly drills and nagakomi and 3-person uchikomi, all these different things, you know? Mm-hmm. So during that time period, you have to really use your time wisely. You know, we don't do a long dragged out warm up. I think it's a waste of time.
Right.
You know what I mean? The best warm-up is a movement you're going to do in a much lower intensity, you know, state.
Mm.
You know what I mean? So like a low intensity workout warm-up that is like actual judo and then drilling in a way that's not just static uchikomi. So I'm a big believer in this, you know?
Yeah,
and
yeah.
In so many ways, like my judo practices are like wrestling practices, you know?
Right. I see. So you think that actually helps to attract more hobbyist members?
Yes, I think so. I mean, the Gokyo, the curriculum is great because people like thinking, I know these moves. I know all these moves.
Right.
But when they actually get to randori, there's a huge disconnect and they're actually trying to hit it. And this is the same idea as wrestling. You walk into a wrestling club, it's like, all right, here's how you do a double leg, single leg, and a high C.
Yeah. Three
basic shots. All right, what are the variations of it? Snatch single, sweep single. Everything else is essentially the same.
Yeah, yeah.
Now you just chain stuff together. You learn some front headlock. That's your entire stand-up game right there.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
All right. So, you know, first your drop step has to be pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
You're working on that. You're working on that. All right, we're going live. You're diving for the legs. Never works. Guys just sprawls, put you in front headlock, right?
Yeah.
So it's like, why isn't it working? You're not setting it up. So there's now all of a sudden there's a setup, the actual shot, and then the finish is distinguished in those three things, you know? And in Tachiwaza, so many times it's like that too, but it's not explicitly taught.
Right.
Gripping. Good position, snapping down, setting the thing up, attacking Ochi Osoto in a combination setting. And then you hook that leg and how do you finish it?
Mm.
Three or four different ways to finish it, three or four ways that the opponent might be defensive and react a certain way, main lines of defenses, and how to overcome those things, you know?
Right, right.
It's a lot harder to teach that.
Yeah, because...
And when you're running in as a business, always, you want to do things with scalability in mind. And if you put it together in a curriculum, it's like, all right, Monday, we're going to Uchi's. These are the drills that we're going to do. Uchi call me three-person, Uchi call me crash mat, Randori. Okay, great. Wednesday, we're also going to do Uchi, but we're going to do a different type, right versus left. Friday, we're going to go to Osoro, Uchi to Osoro, done, right? Now, it's kind of, that way you could get a little bit. You know, people like that kind of curriculumized thing.
Yeah.
You know? So then it kind of gets lost, right? The coach that's there who know everything, who's running practices day in and day out, who's like trying to make champions. And, you know, if you look at it, if you go to any high school wrestling program, how many of those kids compete?
Yeah, not
every
not many.
Every single one of them.
Oh, you mean, okay.
In your high school wrestling practice.
But then there's a varsity team, and then if you're a second string, you don't really, like, you get what? Like, 1% per?
You're competing.
Oh, you are there. And you're I guess there. If you go to individual competitions, you go.
JV? You're on it. Maybe you're not first string on the dual meet lineup and you're like, you know, sitting on the bench, but you're going to get an exhibition match.
Yeah.
You're going to be wrestling JV. Even like there's freshman leagues and such. Even middle school, they have their own thing. If you're wrestling, you're competing.
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah. I see what you mean. Yeah. You're definitely going to get some mat time.
What about judo, commercial judo programs? How many of the people in the room are competing? 5%, 10%? Maybe if
5% is high.
5% is high. You know what I mean? So you got to kind of like, you're not doing everything with a design to produce champion to make everyone nasty, you know, for competition because people are going to get hurt doing this stuff, especially at an older age, you know, and you have to look at like what your demographic or your dojo is. You know, there's a lot of hobbyists coming in, people who want to get a workout in, who go to work all day, come back, and then they're kind of like, oh man, I just need to reduce some stress, whatever it is, you know?
Yeah.
So if that's your main demographic, you know, like, do we need to be like, you know, snapping each other down and like hand fighting and, you know, working on different things and just putting them through the grinder, freaking, you know, grind them down to a nub. Like, it's like, you know, we don't really need that, right? They want to be in the room, get a nice workout in, go at your own pace, follow a curriculum, get their belts, feel good about themselves, you know?
But you don't like that. You're saying you don't run it like that. And then you think, drilling and this type of group fighting and all that make things more interesting to even to hobbyists.
Oh yeah, for sure. But you know, it's different. Like if we're doing more like, you know, hand fighting, like hard hand fighting, right?
Yeah.
You have to reduce the intensity and make sure people kind of know right what and who to go with, you know? So there is a place for this kind of teaching methodology and I'm a big fan of it, you know?
Yeah, I see. Yeah. So So the reduced intensity, but it's like you're just instead of having people just go down the line and then do uchikomis, you're trying to make it more dynamic and engaging.
Yes, and there's also a lot of situational wrestling in wrestling too.
Yeah,
you know, borrowing from like deliberate practice, you know, books written on this stuff. You know, like, and this is the great example, like tennis. If you have a bad backhand, you know, a high bad backhand, right? And anytime someone good can just put the ball there, and you're not going to hit it well. So it's going to be a gap. So, all right, how many times are you going to encounter that high backhand if you're just playing recreationally?
Right.
I don't know, 10 times a game, maybe, I don't even know, game, match, whatever they call it, 10 times every time you play. But if you're like, all right, we're going to deliberately shoot the ball or hit the ball. Well, I don't really know tennis. Right? But we're going to make you encounter the stimulus, you know, 1,000 times.
Right.
Just
focus
this.
Practice, yeah.
Yeah, it's like deliberate focus practice. So now you have 1,000 repetitions with the thing that you suck at the most.
Yeah.
As opposed to if I'm just going in there and playing tennis casually, it may take me 2 years to receive that same stimulus, you know?
Yeah.
So in jiu-jitsu, it would be like, all right, I suck at clearing the Dela Hiba, you know? All right, let's get you in Dela Hiba and let's just drill that over and over and over and over and over again. Same thing with wrestling. All right, guys, we're going to start with a leg, you know, single head on the inside, like leg back sprawled. You know, ready, set, go. So you're doing the like situational drills. You know what I mean?
Right.
So in judo, the equivalent to that, I don't do it as much, but like, you know, the uchimata position, inside leg position, you know? Mm-hmm. So you go hip to hip, slip the leg in there, ready, set, go.
And then you try to go back and forth kind of.
Yeah, back and forth. Person with the leg raised is trying to counter it, maybe step over it or pull the leg away and then do like a dashi or something. Person with the leg on the inside is trying to finish uchimata, you know? It's so common in wrestling, but you never see this in judo.
Yeah.
I don't say never. I don't want to say never, And like even when I was at Jimmy Page, it's like common, over under. Yeah. Person misses Tomonaga, person misses Sumigashi, they backs to the floor. We're gonna go over under pass, okay? Back hits the floor, it's all cooperative. The moment you dive in for that over under pass, it's live. So you have that stimulus. You're going, you're exposed to that so many times that in competition, someone goes for a drop sacrifice and they're on their back, bang, you get to hit it right away, you know?
The famous match, Travis Stevens got to the final with that, right?
That's right. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. I heard a story. Jimmy said, Travis, this guy's really tough, you know? Travis had a bunch of losses against him or something. And he goes, maybe he'll just drop his back and you'll pin him.
Yes.
Guy goes for a sumi. Travis like, oh shit. Bang, boom. Over on the pass, you know?
No pin chance. Him. Yeah.
Into the Olympic finals, you know what I mean? So those kinds of deliberate practices, you know, being in the positions that you're often in really, really, really help, you know?
So I could see the benefit of that, especially for the competition. But again, I go back to this, you know, this point about how that would help the hobbyists, because that's the vast majority of people
Do judo. It's not gonna, you know, and I say this sometimes too. It's like, all right, we're going to work transitional niwaza, right?
Yeah.
Going for a throw, whether it's proactively transitioning to niwaza or reactively transitioning to niwaza. Proactive is like forcing sasai and then dropping to the knees and then attacking the back, right? That's a proactive transition versus reactive. It's like guy goes for a drop senagi. Now you're reacting to that. Still as you're diving onto the person's back, right? We could just drill that for 2 hours over the course of a month and be really, really good at it to a point where anybody goes for a bad turn throw, you could strangle them.
Yeah.
Right. Anyone in right versus right, you could force a side, take him down and go for something. You could take advantage of it, right? And it's a huge gap in most people's games that it would be the best time spent in order to win matches. But if you ran a practice like that for 2 months straight, it's not interesting. It's boring as fuck. You know? Excuse my language. It's so boring. It's so boring. And this is the thing. I hate training like that, you know? I remember it's like, all right, we're going to do juji from the top. You know, we're going to do that for the next 30 minutes. And it's like, oh my God, I can't even. And you know, some people can like stay focused on that one task and look at all the different minute details and see how they react and see how, try to put the knee here as opposed to there. You know, like you hear like when you go for topside juji, putting the near knee on the close side here versus the far side here. You know, people kind of like have that kind of thing. Usually it's a close side here, you know,
right.
But experimenting with the far side here. And then, you know, levering with the shin and doing this and adjusting your grips and, you know, putting the hip into your wrist into your pocket of your hip first. And then, you know, the way you pull the leg around if they're not rolling, there's so many different pieces to focus on, right?
Right.
But that's not for the average person.
Yeah.
You know, that's for like the autistic person that wants to be a champion, that's absolutely fascinated with stuff, that wants to win.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I hated it. You know, I'm like a little bit better at like finding the fun in that now, like honed in. But you know, it doesn't really cater to my personality. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So like, that's not for the average dojo guy.
Right.
You could have, and this is the thing, right? If 5% of your gym is competing and you run a practice designed for those guys to win, you know, win in air quotes, right? You're going to lose 95% of the people.
Yeah. Because most of them, that's not their goal.
That's not their goal. You're wasting everyone's time then. You know, the guy that wants to come and break a sweat and do, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I guess that's like a point. Like Levon mentioned how wrestling programs generally produce grapplers that are all around, like athletic and they're technically competent. But for commercial judo gyms, that's not necessarily the goal.
No, but you know, you got to look at also the population. Yeah, we see some of the best wrestlers, right, at the best, you know, MMA, this and that, but there, for every good, great wrestler that's a phenom athlete, there's a bunch of shitty wrestlers that no one knows that just got their butt kicked, you know, for 4 years in high school and they just never liked it.
Yeah.
You know, or the out of shape guy that just like quit after 2 years because, you know, he just took a relentless beating every day.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But in terms of like, you start wrestling at a young age and you have a good coach, you know, it can develop you into, you know, because the coaching thing has been around for a very long time. They've been wrestling for a very long time. And there's money in it. The NCAA is behind it. There's Division I, II, and III. There's just a big amount of population. And people say, oh, there's no money in wrestling. Think about how many jobs are out there, coaching jobs, and how much money is being paid to these coaches.
Yeah.
How many seminars that people live off of, you know? I know guys that are making, you know, there's tons of guys making between $30,000 and $200,000 a year, you know, coaching wrestling.
And not maybe even not that, $200,000. It's like you can go to college. You can go to a good college being a good wrestler.
Yes.
That's a lot of money.
Yeah, full scholarships.
Yeah.
That's big money right there.
Yeah.
You know, you go to like Brown or something and you're paying $45,000 a year times four. That's $160,000 that
yeah.
you don't have to pay because of wrestling. That is money in the sport through NCAA, right? Not like, bro, there's a $1 million contract. There's no equivalent to that in judo or jiu-jitsu.
Yeah.
Even jiu-jitsu, there's no equivalent to that, you know?
I think like
here, you could have a career, you know, as a wrestling coach. And then you go, you could teach phys ed or do this or do that, but you're just a full-blown coach here at this university level. And your salary is this. And all you got to do is recruit and run the guy's class. And then you just got to produce champions at a Division I level.
Yeah.
Here's $100,000. You know what I mean? Like, there's no jobs like that in judo or wrestling or jiu-jitsu. None. In Japan, there are.
Right,
I'm talking
right.
strictly in the United States. But there's money in the sport. There's money in the sport. People build careers off of this stuff. Therefore, people are going to be much more incentivized to be in it fully.
Yeah.
How many dojo guys do you know that have day jobs? Do you think those guys are sitting around all day thinking the best way to run an actual commercial class? No.
Yeah, no.
They're freaking busting their ass as a nurse or a school teacher or whatever hell it is, and they're dragging themselves to the dojo. They're bullshitting, grappling with the guys, and doing what their senseis taught them to do.
Yeah, I see.
It's probably outdated. You know what I mean? And nothing against that, you know?
Yeah.
We need those guys. Thank you guys for your service. We can't do any of this shit without you. You guys are the fundamental building blocks of judo in this country.
Right.
And I will never do anything to like discredit them or devalue them. But that's a big difference between the guy that's getting $150,000 a year and that has a budget of this millions of dollars for this many scholarships. And they're recruiting the best kids in the country. Yeah, that's an organization and a half. Even if you look at like, I used to go to like Hofstra University Wrestle-Off because my best friend was a coach there in college. My best friend from college was a great wrestler. He took fourth at World Team Trials. He wrestled D1.
Yeah.
He wrestled with me too in my program.
Yeah.
And then he was an assistant coach at Hofstra and he'd be like, yo, come, we're doing Wrestle-Off. Dude, packed house.
Oh, wow.
You know what I mean? Like, and it's very, very serious, dude. Scholarships, you know, kids with scholarships, like this is what they do, man, 24/7, day in and day out. You know what I mean?
I guess one way to think about these the dojo owners who have day jobs and then like still like showing up to evening practices. Imagine if they had the same passion about judo, but they are fully, you know, full-time judo coaches and dojo owners.
Yeah, picture this. You have no other option. This is it. Yeah. You either produce champions or you're fired.
Yeah.
What are you going to do?
Yeah.
You're going to sit around and look at the best programs in the world and try to emulate that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. But there's much more focus on the competitive side, the actual, not just the moves, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Not just singles, high C, and things like that. You're looking at all the different reactions, positions, you know, transitions, setting it up. How do you chain these moves together?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you do situational training.
So let's close with this. I mean, I might be opening up a can of worm and you don't have to finish your thoughts. So it seems like wrestling, the focus is in the scholastic sport, NCAA, and Olympics, I guess, feed into that. But usually it's about the collegiate competitions. But judo doesn't have that. And I know that judo had a chance to join the NCAA, I remember, in the 80s or something.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on that? Should judo be an NCAA sport? So it's like wrestling?
I think it's tough, man, because do we have enough qualified teachers to support that? You know, how many teams are they going to be? And they're going to have to like, you know, and let's just say, for instance, right? They say, all right, let's pick the best 10 coaches, the best, the most successful gyms in terms of like number of students, you know, ability of the coaches and stuff like that. And let's approach all of them. Let's just put them on a list, you know?
Yeah.
All right. Me at the top of the list. And then, you know, you get like, all right, Ed Liddy, you know, San Jose guys, then Jimmy Pedro and, you know,
Colton.
Some dojos. Yeah. Colton and all these guys who've, you know,
were
in the game. All right, guys, are you going to leave your job now and coach at this university? Like, will you do that? Will you close your gym? Like, what? How are we going to do that? No. All right. So now we can't get those guys in the room. Like, they couldn't pay me enough to move to.
Yeah.
University of Texas and be a full-time coach here. They couldn't do it.
Right.
I wouldn't do it. You know, even if they were like, all right, here's $300,000 for you to uproot your life and move to Texas to coach, I won't do it because it's like my whole life is here.
Yeah.
$700,000 maybe. I do have a price, right?
Yeah.
There's definitely a price. But like, all right, so now let's look at tier B guys. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. All right, so are they going to, is that going to be a very good competitive program? No, man, like the infrastructure is not there yet. You know what I mean? We need more people to be invested in judo, more coaches, more athletes, more everything, you know? And I think out of that, I think judo's on the right path, I think, you know, but we've been stagnant for a little while, a couple decades.
I see.
You know? So you I think with the current population, yeah. I think it's very hard to support this.
So you're saying just because one day judo becomes an NCAA sport right now, it's not going to really solve the issue. We need more.
I mean,
growth.
There's got to be a program, right? For instance, I'm hired by Columbia. That's right down the street from me.
Yeah.
Jimmy Pajo, you know, goes and does it at Harvard. It's in Massachusetts, right?
Yeah.
And then some other, you know, maybe like some shitty Jersey guy can go to Princeton, which is like a shitty school. You know, Princeton Community College. That's where you went, right, Peter? Colton can teach that, right? And now all of a sudden you kind of have like an Ivy League situation, you know, and it's like they also have to split their practices between the gym.
Right,
your
gym,
your dojo, and the school. And now it's like a, you know, five dojo, five school, you know, division. And it's fought nationally, like that kind of a thing. Now, then there's scholarships from that. Now then maybe, right? And the word gets out and there's a scholarship opportunity. So now more people are sticking it through high school as opposed to, you know, good example
sports,
is fencing because fencing only has one division. So if you're doing fencing, you could go to do fencing in college, you know, and it's one of those loopholes. And you could say you're a Division I athlete when you're applying for jobs at Goldman Sachs. Like I was a Division I athlete. It's like, fucking no, you weren't, you know, but you dabbled in fencing and you like walked onto a team, but you know what I mean? They're different from a Division I wrestler.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I played D1 ball in a very competitive.
Yeah.
I'm not shitting on fencing. I kind of am, but like, you know what I mean? So like little by little, you could kind of build clout. I think there's ways to do it, but I think it's very, very difficult unless you get the best guys to do it. I think we just need more people in judo, period. You know, and, you know, there's a huge opportunity now with the online, with the IJF doing what they're doing with Judo Gallery. You know, we're much more visible and we're getting so much credit from the jiu-jitsu community. Even wrestlers are reaching out and saying, hey, you know, Shintaro, I know you do judo. I want to put my kid in judo. Mm-hmm. Guys who wrestled their whole lives. So now, you know, before it was like a little gimmicky thing. It's like, oh, you do judo? Like, he's probably good at throws.
Yeah.
That was it.
Right.
But now people are understanding the global nature of judo. And this is strictly U.S. speaking, right?
Yeah.
In Japan, it's like the opposite. You know, Japan, judo, everyone does judo. It's in the school system. Wrestling, it's like, ah. And, you know, you get guys who are like decent judo guys in middle school who go to high school and they're like, you know what? I'm not going to be the best at judo. Let me transition to wrestling. You get a lot of guys that are doing that in Japan. You know, so it's kind of the reverse.
I heard
you know
what I mean? A lot of people go from judo to sumo too. Something like that.
I mean, if you're big, you know.
Yeah, I see.
Maybe, yeah. Yeah. I heard that too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But so, okay, I see. I think that was a good point. You know, you know, that's actually how the way you described it is how Ivy League started the term. It was a sports league. Of all these old colleges, they just started playing football, I think, and then it became a thing.
Yeah.
So maybe.
Could be the thing. That could be how it's done. You know, I don't think like a rolling out NCAA thing and just everyone hiring random coaches, I don't think that'll work.
Yeah. It has to have a core.
It would have to be very cooperative core, with USA Judo and, you know, involve the right people, but, you know.
Nice.
USA Judo as an organization is a very small organization. You know, they don't have time to juggle this and that. They have the funds to even support, you know?
Right.
And it's tough. It's really tough. But I think it would be nice, you know, if Columbia hit me up, like, you want to be head coach of this judo team thing. And
oh, man, that would be amazing.
Yeah.
They have a good wrestling team too, right? So you can maybe steal some of the guys. Yeah.
There's a jiu-jitsu program there too.
Oh, nice.
There was an intramural judo program there for a long time.
Didn't you teach at Barnard?
Yeah, I was an adjunct professor at Barnard. That was amazing. Yeah. It's an all-girls school. It was really fun.
Well,
they did approach me to coach at the
Columbia?
Columbia, the thing, but it was for no pay, and I was like,
burn
the hours. And,
Well, Columbia, if you're listening, approach him again with some money. Maybe he'll be interested.
$800,000.
Nice. That All right. Well, I think there's a lot of interesting things we can, as a judo community, learn from wrestling. But it's not, yeah, the context is important. You know, it's not, wrestling and judo don't exist in the same world, I don't think, yet. But, you know, it might be in the future. Yep. And, well, maybe that's not the best way to go about it. But I think we can certainly learn certain things from wrestling, especially around this drilling aspect for competitions. But yeah, not, it's a complicated situation. But anyway.
Yeah, it's definitely complicated. Yes. Yeah. A lot of moving parts.
Yeah. All right. Well, I hope you guys enjoy this episode, and we'll see you guys in the next episode.